What's going on, guys, and welcome to the Say Yes Project, where permission is granted. I am your host, Ariana, and I'm a child of God who is here to help you guys accept the invitation from God and all that comes with it. Before we get started in today's episode, I encourage you to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so that you can get the weekly Wednesday drop. I also encourage you to follow us on Instagram at the Say Yes Project Pod so that you can get regular updates on everything involving the show. If you haven't noticed, there has been a little bit of inconsistencies when it comes to me posting my podcast episodes. And today I want to sort of address that by giving a little bit of transparency on what my mindset has been lately to kind of help guide us, especially as new Christians, new believers, or even seasoned believers who have walked this walk before and may struggle with the same thing that I'm struggling with. This is the episode for that. So pretty much, I felt like when I entered into this space of podcasting, I wanted to make sure that anytime I stepped in front of the mic, it was by God's design and not just to push out a bunch of content. There is a range of topics that we can be saying yes to as believers, as followers of Christ. And, you know, I could just, you know, push them out as much as I could. But that just didn't feel like what God asked me to do. I felt like God wanted me to continue to build my relationship with Him and then share that on this platform. Recently, I have noticed a struggle I've had since the beginning of this year that I have not experienced since I re-engaged myself with the Lord. And that is this feeling of disconnect, this feeling of, you know, more legalistic approach to God, where, you know, I'm still reading my Bible. I'm still, you know, watching church on streams and, you know, attending my Bible studies and doing, you know, the things that you're supposed to do. But I have felt a little bit unplugged from the process, which has greatly affected how I approach this, because as I said, I'm not just pushing out content. So it becomes harder for me to, you know, navigate this slump that I've been experiencing. I wanted to, you know, really buckle into figuring out what it was. So I was in conversations with friends. I was thinking and processing with my mom about, you know, what was going on, even talking to God and just asking Him to like give me more and more clarity. And last week, I finally did like a hard reset, like one of those, like, turn the phones off, let it sit off for 5 minutes, and then cut it back on, reset. And it started with me asking to reset our Bible study, because we were walking through the Old Testament, and me and my friend both realized, like, okay, something is missing. I want more. So we decided to pick up on this new Bible study plan that I probably will maybe address in another episode, because that's not really what I want to focus on. But I felt the need to, you know, reflect and think about the things and the tools and the experience I had with God initially and maybe get back to that place. So we started this Bible study and really it opened my eyes back to what was missing in my walk. I was also in this like rejuvenation. Like, I'm telling y'all, I'm getting up early. I'm really spending like quality time with the Lord in the morning. And I came across this analogy that just perfectly got me to like, what does it take to either get back on track with God or just really, you know, either being, you know, hot or being cold or not being lukewarm, pretty much is what I'm trying to say. So pretty much I was riding in the car and I was on the phone with my mom and I noticed there was like a new development going on. And, you know, typically in new developments, before they kind of even put up the houses, they plant trees up and down the road near the development. And I saw that it had three studs on these newer trees. You can tell they're baby trees, right? And I asked my mom, I was like, hey, I kind of felt something in my spirit. And I was like, I wonder why that is. Like, I feel like something, that's something God is trying to illustrate to me. So I asked out loud and I said, Mom, why do you think there is these studs on these newer trees? And her response to me was, oh, well, when you plant a new tree, in order for it to grow upright, they put those three studs in for support. And I said, okay, God, I see what you did there. I was like, okay, so now we're cooking with some hot gas. Now I know what I need to now bring forth to his sons and daughters, right? And that's when I began to see the significance of the three. What are the three things, you know, to me that feels like, okay, this is how you support staying upright with God. Like, this is what are those three things that you've noticed? And the three things that I notice is important for being a servant of the Lord and being upright with Him is the relationship you have with God, reading His word, and being in community. That's it. Those are the three things. I have noticed more and more, especially on social media, where we talk about like some of the over spiritualizations of this thing that God has very much made plain, made clear, and made simple. Not always easy, but He did make it simple for us to convene. It's probably not a coincidence, because there really is no coincidence with God, that I came to all of these revelations in Holy Week, where we are, you know, celebrating the greatest thing to have happened to the human race, which is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and His resurrection 3 days later. Because a lot of times we, especially in legalism, will try to circumvent our way to God, thinking that that's going to be the thing that makes us, you know, honorable in His eyes and favored in His eyes. And the only thing He sees on us, if we have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, is the blood that was sacrificed for us. There is no other way to the Father but through the Son. And that's in Scripture. So I feel like one of the things that I noticed about me in this season was that I was trying to circumvent my way back to God, when really He made it very simple, because He already paid the price for me. Like, I'm not connected to sin. It's not lashed onto my body. Like, it's passed over me. Death is. But to become more spiritually, to become a disciple of Him, to be a true servant, this is the way to do it. It's not any of the other things that I was trying to do. These are, to me, the building blocks of being on fire, or even being cold, because God asks us to be one or the other, which I will come back to in a moment. Let's start with one of the concepts that I kind of thought about, which is the reading of God's word. We have to, as a society, as people who are in the Christian faith, to recognize the true importance of reading the word of God. This book is not just here to collect dust. It's not here to be cute decoration on your counter. Like, this is truly God's words in printed form that we have access to, that has not always been granted to us as Christians. When you read the word, when you are in the word, that means you are constantly hearing God. And that does not mean that you have to be all the way, what's the word? You don't have to be all the way a theologian or a a studier in that way, because God just really wants us to open up the text and understand it. Now, you do need to go into it with a open heart, ready to receive whatever God places in there. But it's not always important for you to be able to read the Bible the way your pastor reads the Bible, whether it's your favorite content creator who's a Christian and is talking about the word. Everybody isn't there, and that's okay. You know, like when we begin to just ingest the word and ask questions of God, he will give us a direct answer. So like, you will find the more you read the word, the more it is easier to navigate the text and ask more questions. I am a questioner by nature, so that pretty much helps. But I feel like a lot of us can be inquisitive if we so choose, if we open our hearts to be that. So even if you have to pick a translation that you understand, whether you have to, you know, get a study Bible specifically, you know, I am an advocate. I've been saying that since episode one, to get a study Bible, because it will give you little nuances and give you perspective and cultural understanding. And then you can understand not only the knowledge of God's word, but then you can begin to adapt to the power of who God is. And that may help you recognize how important you are in his plan, in his will, and you will be allowing him to work through you and not make you feel like I have to perform for me to receive something from God. One of the things that I wrote was, it's important to know God's word and the power of the Lord, which was a note that my pastor said in the previous sermon this week, where a lot of us know one or the other. We either know the power of God, but don't know anything about him, or we know him, but we do not grasp his power, which that is going to be an episode in itself, is talking about that. And it comes from Matthew 22:29, where we are setting the stage of the final days of Jesus' life. And he is talking to the Sadducees, who don't believe in the resurrection, who don't believe that God, you know, can, you know, give you new life. It's death is death to them. They only acknowledge the first four books of the five books of the Bible anyway. So he wrote, as he was speaking to them, "You are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." We oftentimes, if we don't know God and we're not reading about God and we're not understanding who he is and what he can do, you can't see how he can work in your life and how he can make your life for the glory of him. There are so many examples in Old Testament, New Testament, of miracles, signs, and wonders, of things that are happening through ordinary people constantly. Like, Moses was an ordinary person. David was an ordinary person. Elijah was an ordinary person. Isaiah, you know, Jeremiah, all of these people were not. Mary Magdalene, Peter, all of these people were ordinary people. And we get the text to see how God worked extraordinarily through their lives. So when you are in the word and you understand the word in that way, you are able to not only know him, but know his power and know his character and know that he will not consume you, right? There has been a scripture that has been on my mind all week, which is Malachi 3:6, I believe. And it says, "O Lord, who is unchanging, O Israel, you'll never be consumed." That is the whole point, right? Where we know who God is because of his word. So we know that he's unchanging. The same God he was in Genesis will be the same God he's in Revelations. From beginning to end, it doesn't change. And so that means that the same promise is that we will not be consumed, even when it feels like you're going to be, right? And to follow up with understanding how important the word of God is, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is God breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So when we're getting back to the basics, right, of what we need in this life, we need the word of God because it allows us to be thoroughly equipped. To be equipped means you have everything at your disposal, right? Like if you think about the job that you do, if you didn't have important elements to do your job, right? Like for me, if I didn't have my laptop, if I didn't have my, you know, my voice, if I didn't have certain things, then I would not be able to do my job. I wouldn't be able to do good work. So this book that we all sometimes have been gifted, we have bought, whatever the situation is, equips us for whatever life throws at us. So at least it gives us, it's one of the armors of God, it's our sword. It's there at our disposal. So even as you may find yourself falling off and realizing like, well, what can I do to get back in touch with God? Open his word, find a chapter, find a book to study and meditate on, and you will find yourself back in, well, you'll just be walking back to God because God is going to be right where you left him, truly. One of the things that I noted as well in talking about reading the word, which just kind of stood out to me, which talks back about that hot and cold that I mentioned earlier, which is Revelations 3, 15 through 6, right? So to set the stage, you know, John has been received this message from Jesus of all of these things. And one of the churches that God was speaking to was the church of Laodicea, and talking about their lukewarm behavior. And it says, I know your work, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out my mouth. You know, God really knows how to give out some imagery, doesn't he? And I think it's interesting because it talks about in this My Study Bible, it has this note that says that a metaphor drawn from cooking describes the Laodicean church. Hot may be referencing to the medicinal waters of Hierapolis near Laodicea. The Laodicean church did not provide the heat of healing for the spiritually sick, nor the cool refreshment for the spiritually weary. So sometimes you can read this Bible that you have and be, you know, hot and it heals you because you're sick. Like you may be sick of, you know, seeing how the world is operating. You may have sickness in your body, physically, mentally, emotionally, or you might just be weary and you need something to just cool you off to know that there, you know, your good work matters. God employs us to be either one, and reading scripture helps in that area. So that's why it's even more important to be in the word of God so that you can either heal your spiritual, be healed through the Bible or refreshed by the Bible. So the next thing I noted was the relationship with God. That probably should have been the first thing, but it's just how I wrote it. So your relationship with God is so important because it is the anchor, you know, it is the anchor to how you're able to maneuver through the moment, whether you're depressed, anxious, sick, healthy, high or low. Having this relationship with God gives you the ultimate lifeline to call in. Right? Whether that's through prayer, whether that's, again, through reading the Bible, or whether that is just, you know, being in a silent place with him. When you have this relationship, you will know how to move forward in your life. You won't be as confused or doubtful, or, you know, you may have those experiences, but you know exactly who to lay it at the feet of, which is God. So one of the things that is important to note when we're talking about like a relationship with God is that the Bible is very clear on what truths that you should be anchored in when you're in a relationship with God. However, we have to embrace the fact that the truth are the truth, but God is okay with however we cultivate that relationship with him. as long as it's within the truth that he speaks of in the word. So yes, God says that you should pray to him. It should be constant and, you know, always happening, but it can happen however you feel comfortable in talking to God, whether you write down your prayers, whether you go into a closet and pray, whether you pray in the car, whether you pray in the shower, as long as you're talking to him and giving him praise and honor and also giving him the intimate details of your life, you can kind of make it up as you go in that way. And I think a lot of times we still get caught up in the legalism of like hearing how, you know, saints who are further along in the journey than us pray and believe that that's how I should pray. But it's inauthentic and God does not want to hear that. He does not want to hear your big words if that's not how you speak. He does not want to hear all of these flatteries just to hear from you. He just wants to talk to you. Even if that means you're in silence, he just wants to. So we have to be comfortable with cultivating our own interaction with God within biblical truth. And that's where I'm going to implore some of you guys, including myself, that sometimes we have to put the phone down. We have to put the phone down. Because when we, with us having these phones and having all of this information, you are seeing more than ever how people are cultivating, or they may be faking it. We're not going to talk about that, but like how they're doing their Christian walk. And you can sometimes look at them and say, wow, I wish that was me. Wow, I wish I could pray like that. Wow, I wish I could read my Bible like that. Wow, wow, wow. And your eyes are on these people and thinking that they are the foremost authority on how to interact with God, when you have to sometimes sit back and realize, okay, but that's not how I do, right? So some people are not morning people. So waking up at 5 a.m. to spend time with God is not the thing that's going to help you. But you may be able to cultivate a healthy, you know, biblical interaction, prayer life in the middle of the day or at night. It is truly up to you how it works. But I think a lot of times when we have our phones on and looking at that as the indication, we forget that God has already given us a blueprint and that we can work on the outside. My mentor said that one time when she was talking about marriage. She was like, there are biblical truths to marriage, but everything else outside of that you can kind of cultivate. She said there are, you know, true agreements that you're supposed to maintain in that. Outside of that, no. It's the same thing with your covenant with God. There are biblical truths that you must look into and know what they are. But you can kind of cultivate it however you want to. And again, I'm speaking for myself as well, because sometimes I get caught up in that as well. And it took me really spending some time with God this week and creating a routine that worked for me that made me go, okay, God, this is all you want from me is this version. And I can just master this version and pivot when you tell me to pivot. That's where the scripture that the two scriptures that stood out to me were Jeremiah 29:13, which if you're familiar with Jeremiah 29:11, it's, you know, I know the thoughts that I have for you and I know the plans that I have for your life. That's that scripture. But if you keep going down, we get to 13, where it says, and you will seek me and go and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So that's how we're searching with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our power and all of our being when we are interacting with the Lord. And we will find him in those places because God is everywhere, always. So if you realize that, okay, I haven't really been searching for God because I've been trying to, you know, master this way of showing up in the most perfect way possible, then you're going to find it harder to find him versus if you search for God in all of your heart and all of your might, Sometimes I notice for myself, and I've noticed it recently, God speaks to me very subtly because he knows who I am. He knows that I can pick up on the subtleties. So I might be in an experience and realize, oh God, that's why you showed me that? Well, thank you. And I just sit in that space versus trying to, you know, make it look like, how do I hear God like how everybody else hears God? Or how do I see God how anybody else sees him? I just try to see and hear for him for myself and the things that he's put on my heart. Another big one that we should do to get back to the basics is community. In another episode, I probably will begin to talk about like getting away from church hurt or healing from church hurt so that we can build healthy community in the space of God, because he desires us for community. He truly does. He talked about it a lot in the Gospels. We hear it a lot in Paul's letters, right? About how to build healthy community. So what building this community connecting yourself to a community is, it helps create accountability. You have people who may be further along on the walk than you or are right in the same space with you that can help you stay the track that God has you. Being in the world is hard when you are a Christian because a lot of your thoughts, a lot of your movements, a lot of the way you are is very countercultural. And that, if we find ourselves in that space, it's easy for us to pull back from God because we begin to feel like, I mean, just to be plain, we feel like weirdos. Like, why am I the only one that thinks like this? Why am I the only one that sees this? Versus when you are in healthy community, whether you're in a gathering of a church service or you have, you know, godly friends, that will allow you to see, like, I'm not crazy. I'm not weird. I'm just set apart. And here are some other people who are set apart with me. Because even when we think about it, in the Gospels, when Jesus is acknowledging that Peter is going to deny him, when we get to Luke 22:31-34, you will realize that probably a part of the reason why him falling back away from God and being able to come back is because of his community. He went on to stay in contact with the disciples, even when his faith wandered, right? So when we think about that scripture, it says that, I'll say 32 to be specific, it says that Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So not only did he make Peter accountable to himself, but also to others, because he knew that Peter's faith would not fail. It would just need, he needed to return back to it. And when he did it, he needed to be in community. He needed to be with people who he could strengthen and also be strengthened by. Because I read a little fun fact. If you do struggle with reading the Bible and you want to understand it a little bit more deeply, Enduring Word is a website, helps you get commentary on the Bible. So one of the commentary that it wrote was that, and having returned, we must turn our focus towards helping others. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. The one who returns after faltering isn't necessarily to be excluded or encouraged to become self-focused, but they should reach out and strengthen their brethren, is what it said. So even if you find yourself like me, where you feel disconnected from God, you feel like, I don't know, like, I don't think God sees me anymore because I backslide too much, get back to the basics, get back into your church community. If you were in church, if you're not, seek one out, preferably one that's Bible led, but seek one out that can spiritually feed you and help you strengthen not only your relationship with God, but strengthen your relationship with strengthen your fellow man who may be struggling with the exact same thing. That's what this episode felt like to me. It felt like a moment for me to come back to you guys and say, look, your girl done backslid a little bit, and I'm still navigating and trying to figure out other distractions because I know some other things are going on too that maybe I highlight another time, but I knew that I had fallen off and I wasn't as on fire, or I wasn't even cool, right? I was feeling the remnants of lukewarm behavior. So instead of, you know, isolating myself like the devil wants me to do or what I typically have done in the past, I instead reached out to my fellow friends who are believers and trying to figure things out. I also got back in the Word of God, and I'm beginning to strengthen back my relationship with Him because I understand that getting back to the basics is not a downcast on me, but instead it is a recognition that I'm still in the fight. I'm still with God, and I still want to be for God. I want to be everything He has for me. So right now, I pray for each and every one of you guys that if you are in a season of lukewarmness, if you have felt like you've been fell back from God, that you will take the moment to just get back to the basics, that you will read your word and realize that God still loves you and He still honors you, that your salvation has not gone away just because you backslid. I pray that you will build, you know, your relationship with God more stronger than ever in every step that you can, because you know that He is unchanging. So that means that you will not be consumed. I pray that you will find community and that you will be able to see the beauty of the Lord through your fellow brothers and sisters, because they are important to your walk as much as you are. I pray all of these things over each and every one of you guys. So that is it for today. I pray that this episode gave you another reason to say yes to God. Continue to press in. And as Luke wrote in his Gospels, the heavens are rejoicing over your decision. Love and blessings.